Today's daf is Vachim Daf Kuf Hey, and we are 30 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, Boyi Rabbi Yirmiyah. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema, Vachavim Miriam Basmalka Freida, and Shloime Ben Chayaleah. So, at the end of yesterday's daf, we began a new Mishnah, the last Mishnah of Perek Tful Yoyim, which discussed halachis related to the Parim HaNisrafim and the Se'irim HaNisrafim. So the Parim HaNisrafim and the Se'irim HaNisrafim are a very interesting and mechudish diga subcategory within the world of Kachem. These were karbonos, where the din was to take all the basar of the carbon and instead of eating it or being makdered on the Mizbeach, it was taken chutz l'sholosh machnos and it was burnt. Which parim and which se'irim were the ones that were nisrafim? So it's the parim and the se'irim whose dam was sprinkled not on the Mizbeach hachitzoin, but rather on the Mizbeach hapnimi. Which is why the Parim HaNisrafim and the Se'irim HaNisrafim are often synonymous with the Chatois HaPnimiyos. So the Chatois HaPnimiyos, which are the Chatois whose dam went on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, their basar also was burnt. As a result, when we talk about these karbonos, sometimes they get the name Chatois HaPnimiyos, that's true, their dam went on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Sometimes they get the name Parim HaNisrafim, Se'irim HaNisrafim, that's true as well, because their basar was burnt rather than being eaten and rather than having a traditional haktara on the Mizbeach. What usually complicates the sugya of the Parim HaNisrafim and the Se'irim HaNisrafim even more is that when you make a cheshbon of which karbonos they were, meaning which karbonos is dam went on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and which karbonos is basar was burnt, these are not the easiest karbonos in the world. These are the Mesechtes Hoyrius karbonos. So you had the Par Koyim Mashiach, you had the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, you had the Sar Avodas Kechavim, also the Par and the Sar that was brought on Yom Kippur. So these are some of the more intricate, some of the more chikavik karbonos, which again just adds an extra layer of complication. It's much easier when you're learning a zvachim sugya and you're talking about a good old-fashioned oila or even a chatas or a shlamim or an asham. These are karbonos whose halachas deviate from the more standard kachem diga rules. These are karbonos that in general are a little bit more intricate. As a result, again, it adds a little bit of a layer of intimidation. The bottom line is, today's daf is going to mitchila v'atzoif, talk more about halachas related to the Parim HaNisrafim and the Se'irim HaNisrafim. Now, what's interesting, today's daf begins with an Ibaya, Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah. And the truth is, when we see the Ibaya of the Gemara, it's going to feel like v'ru'uyin hadvarim l'misha amram. It feels very much like an Ibaya you would expect to come from the mouth of Rabbi Yirmiyah, stating that most Rishonim have the Gersa not by Rabbi Yirmiyah, rather by Rabbi Elazar. And it's not because they felt that this question is not matim for Rabbi Yirmiyah, just the opposite. It's more related to the fact that this Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to usher in really a series of Ibayas, and the ensuing Ibayas are all going to be Boy Rabbi Elazar. So it sounds a little bit like this was just a collection of Ibayas that Rabbi Elazar had, and if all the latter Ibayas are Boy Rabbi Elazar, it's Yitachin that this Ibaya is also Boy Rabbi Elazar. Either way, whether it's Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah or Boy Rabbi Elazar, we lock in now to a fully loaded daf, a daf that we literally have to do at 1.5 times speed just to make it to Hadron Alach Tful Yoyim, which Be'ezer Hashem is the goal. Says the Gemara, by Rabbi Yirmiyah or by Rabbi Elazar, Lina Ma'usha Toyo B'parim HaNisrafim U'B'Se'irim HaNisrafim. Is there a psul lina with regards to the basar of the Parim HaNisrafim and the Se'irim HaNisrafim? So we're familiar with lina. Lina means if the Kehanim were not makter the Imurim at the time they were supposed to be makter the Imurim, or if they didn't eat the basar at the time they were supposed to eat the basar. Once it's lon, once it sleeps over past its time when you were supposed to have done whatever you're supposed to do with it, at that point it becomes pasul. It's what's known as lino. When basar is lan, it has a very specific name. It's known as noisar. It carries with it a chiyuv karis. But the bottom line is, here's the question. Is there a psul lino when it comes to the basar of the Parim HaNisrafim and the Se'irim HaNisrafim? or not. Meaning, you're supposed to burn the basar within a certain period of time. What happens if you didn't? Does it become possibly no? What's the shaila? Ki mahanyalina bebasar the barachila. Do we say, when is there a psolina? That's by basar, that's a barachila. And by the way, what does barachila mean? Sayachilas adam, sayachilas mizbeach. So basar, that's going to be eaten by the kayanim, or the Bailam, or Basar, that's going to be eaten by the Mizbeach, what we know as Akhtara, it could be over there, there's a Psolina. Avalhandi, the Labne Achila, Ninu. But these Parim Hanestrafim, the Sina Hanestrafim, whose Basar is being burned, like, maybe there's no Psolina. Maybe no. Lina means that you didn't do with it what you were supposed to do at the appropriate time, and as a result, there's going to be a Psolina. By the way, we know there's a Psolina when it comes to Dam as well. Dam becomes possible, Shkia Sachama. So it's not even unique to Basar. Could be Loishna. If you have a din that you're supposed to do something with this Chel of a carbon, and you didn't, the time passed, now this is going to be a psolina. Amar Rava, so Rava said, Ha milsi iboile la abaya. You should know, this question Abaya had. Upashtana le meha. And I was poshut the shayla for Abaya, and I'll tell you where I was poshut it from the following halacha. And it's really a Mishnah that we saw already earlier in the Masechta and Perik Beit Shammai. The Mishnah over there was discussing a machloikis Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether or not if a kohen has a machsheves pigel regarding the chatois apnimiyos, which remember are the same as the parim anisrafim and the sirim anisrafim. Would it be a machsheves pigel or would it not be a machsheves pigel? Says the Mishnah, Sai Reb Shimon and the Chachamim agree, Shem Chishev Bachilas Parim Ubisrei Fason Shalayasaklo. That if the Kayan had a machsheves pigel, but the machshava was to eat the basar that's supposed to be burnt, chutzlas mani chutzlam kaimai, for sure layasaklum, that's nothing. Meaning, the shaila is where you had a machsheves pigel to do something that is shayach to this carbon. So you had in mind to do the zrika chutzlas mani chutzlam kaimai, the shvicha shirayim chutzlas mani chutzlam kaimai. But if you had a mind to do the wrong avoida, to eat the basa that was supposed to be burnt, that for sure is layasav layklum. So Rava told Abaya, after Abaya had the same shaila, my love, doesn't it make sense to say the mid machshava lepasla, lino nami lepasla? Being that a machshava of chutzlis manoi is not a machshava of chutzlis manoi, when it comes to achilas parim utsrei fasam, then it makes sense that if the basar itself would be lon, then it also wouldn't be subject to psolino. Now, what's the tzushtal? First of all, the tzushtal is, I don't know, just like it's poshut that a machsheves pigel, b'chai gavna is not a machsheves pigel, so too wouldn't be subject to lina. But really, the tzushta is a little bit deeper than that. It's a little bit more acute. And the reason is because really, what is a machshava of chutzlis manei? It's a machshava to make the basar lan. So if a machshava to make the basar lan is not a machshava apiselis, it's yitachin because it's ikur chaser, because even if it was physically long, it wouldn't be a problem. But the Gemara says, not a tzushta, v'duma, machshava, hudalei pasla, avalina pasla. It could be, if it was long, it would be pasla. Stating that, a machshava for it to be long, that already would be not tashma. Says the Gemara, maybe we could be pushed the shayla from somewhere else, and this is a Mishnah too. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Mil. Parim Anisrafim, Musirim Anisrafim, as it relates to our Parim and our Seirim, Moyelim Bahem, Mishah Hukdishu. As soon as they become Hektish, if somebody would have Anah from it, he would be over the Isra Me'ilah. Nishchetu, once the Shechita happens, remember the Parim Anisrafim and the Seirim Anisrafim had Shechita, right? So once there was a Shechita, Hukshiru Li Pasna. At this point, the Shechita is Machshirit now, it becomes susceptible to Tumah. So if a Tvul Yom would touch it, or Mechusa Kippurim would touch it, it would become problematic. Additionally, Ubelina. Once there's a Shechit, at that point, now all of a sudden, it's subject to Lina. So the Gemara says, my love, Lina's Basar. When we say Lina, doesn't it mean the Basar that's being burnt, and it's Mefurish HaMishnah, that there's a Psul Lina by the Basar from the Parim Anisrafim and the Sirim Anisrafim. The Gemara says, Loi, Lina's Imurim. It means the Imurim of the Parim Anisrafim and the Sirim Anisrafim. And this is a very important point. The Parim Anisrafim and the Sirim Anisrafim's Basar was burnt. But the Imurim is like Gara from a regular carbon. The Imurim, of course, went on the Mizbeach. So when we say that Nishchetu, it's Hukhshiru, Li Pasal, but Lina, it means the Imurim. Because the Imurim, of course, are Shayach Talina. The Chakira, the Shaila, was with regards to the Basar. For that, you have no Akhra. But the Gemara says, not true. Because look at the Seif of the Mishnah. With the Tani Seifa, Kulan Mayalim Bahen, the Beis Hadeshen, Atche Yutacha Basar. As it relates to everything that we just said, the Basar of the Parim Anisrafim and the Sirim Anisrafim, the Issa Me'ila stays on the Basar even when it's in the Beis HaDeshen, when it's being burnt, this is already chutzlik sholish machnas, as we're going to see later, until the basar is completely decayed, it's completely decomposed. Now, this part of the Mishnah, is it talking about the emurim that went on the Mizbeach, or is it talking about the basar that was burnt in the Beis HaDeshen? It's pretty mafurish. Kula mayulahim the Beis HaDeshen, atchayutach basar. Now, mid, the sefer basar, sereshan hami basar, that part is for sure talking about the basar. So doesn't it sound like every part of the Mishnah is talking about the basar? So when it says nishchatu huchsheru belina, it means the basar. So I'm first right. There's a psalidim when it comes to the basar. Gemara says midiiri wachayches sefer basar reishay murim. This mishnah is talking about hilchas meila parmanis rafim. The parmanis rafim. The parmanis rafim. The parmanis rafim made up of different components that have different halachas. Some of the halachas mentioned in the mishnah is negeya some. Some of the halachas mentioned in the mishnah is negeya others. But the bottom line is midiiri. It could be the lina chelik is only negeya de murim, despite the fact that that last line and the Sefer, for sure, Beis HaDeshen is talking about the Basar Tashma, another attempt to try to be pushed to the Shah. The Tani Levi, and this is from Levi's Braisa that we saw at the very end of yesterday's daf, earlier on the Amid. So Levi had a Braisa that talked about the three Beis HaDeshens. One of the Beis HaDeshens was on the Harabayas, and the purpose of it was Shem Irabahem Psul Beitziyasin. If the Parman Israf and the Sirian Israf became Pasul after they left the Azara, in Levi's Braisa, they used to burn it on that Beis HaDeshen. Now, all the Braisa said was Shirim ben psul biyitziyasan. What kind of psul? Doesn't say. My love, psulina. Doesn't it mean psulina? Oh, so you see, lina. Marsis wachaiches mechtesi loy psul tuma psul yitziya. Maybe it means became tamei psul yoytze, which is going to be the topic of the next gemara. But the point is, lav dafka we're talking about psulina, and being the lav dafka we're talking about psulina, we can't be poshut. The bottom line is, whether it was Rabbi Yirmiya or Rabbi Lazar, it was also Abaya, that Amiram had this grace of Shaila, and that is there a psulina regarding the Basar, or the Parman Asrafim, and the Sinan Asrafim? At the end of the day, the Gemara had three attempts, a Mishnah Beis Shammai, Mishnah Mesechtes Me'ila, Levi's Braisa. At the end of the day, like all of Rabbi Yirmiya's good Shailas, they remain unresolved. But Rabbi Lazar, another Shaila, Yitzia, Ma'usha Toyo, Beparman Asrafim, Usirim Hanisrafim. So the Gemara, last word of the previous sugya, mentioned the concept of psul yitzia by Parman Asrafim and Sirman Asrafim. By the way, it took for granted that for sure there is a psul yitzia when it comes to Parman Asrafim, Sirman Asrafim. Really, it was an ibaya. And Rabbi Lazar was the one that had the shiloh. He wanted to know, is there a psul yitzia or is there not a psul yitzia? So what's even the shiloh? The shiloh would be, in the event that before the zrika, the basar of the Parman Asrafim and the Sirman Asrafim was taken outside of the Azara, would it now be possible or not? Now, to be clear, the Emurim that has a din to go on the Mizbeach, of course, you're not allowed to take out of the Azara. The question is, the Basar, that's not going on the Mizbeach, it's not going to be eaten, it's going to actually be taken outside of the Azara, it's even going to be taken off the Harabayis, it's even going to be taken out of Machni Yisrael, it's going to go Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas. But the question is, right now it's Far Dizrika, it's not the time yet, right? Noch Dizrika, that's when all the processes begin to happen. But right now, you're not supposed to be taking it out. Let's say you did take it out. Is it subject to psul yoytzei, or is it not subject to psul yoytzei? So the Gemara says, "My kami boyle." I don't even understand the ibaya. Now, at first glance, "My kami boyle" is right. What we often feel like when we learn some of these Gemaras, "My kami boyle." I don't understand the ibaya, Pasha, because we just don't understand the ibaya. But if you took a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "No, this my kami boyle is a lumbisha. My kami boyle." So even if we thought we were mechavim to the Gemara, we weren't. The Rashi says, "Amai tifsal harei soifan lotzes." The chayra, the only time it should be shayach to have a psul yoytze is something that has a din to always be in the azar. So if you take it out of its makim, this psul yoytze. But being that this basar anyway is going to go out, there's no way in the world, even far as the rika, that it should be subject to psul yoytze. So I don't even understand what the question is. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba said, "You're forgetting a Gemara that we learned not so long ago, about a week ago." Alibi demand amar adayin lo giyaz manay lot. Says, the shaila I'm asking is, according to the mandama that holds, that the time did not arrive yet for it to leave, and as a result, there could be a psul yoytze, even for something that's going to be taken out. So yesh lachker over here, would there be a psul yoytze? Would there not be a psul yoytze? So who's that man, the Amr, that holds a dying lo yigiyaz man elotzeis? And just to refresh our memory, what do those words even mean? So this is machloikis Rabbi Yochanan reish lakish. It's negeya basar kachem kal. Basar kachem kal. Which has a din that it could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, but only after the Zrika. The Shaila that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish discussed was, if somebody would be moitzi the basar of Kachem Kalim outside of the Azara, Thar the Zrika, would it be subject to psal yotze or not? What's the shaila? On the one hand, it's seifa lotzeis. On the other hand, adayin lo yegias mani lotzeis. So Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba said that Rabbi Elazar shaila whether or not there's a psal yotze by the basar parman esrafim is according to the mandama that also is a psal yotze by basar kachim kalim lifnei zriko. Why? Because even though it's seifa lotzeis, but adayin lo yegias mani lotzeis, so it's the identical shaila. What would be the loch of it? Now, if it's identical shaila, so why are you even clearing a shaila? Oh, so the answer is because me and do we say hanimili basar? They ain't seifa lotzeis chayva. It could be the man dama that holds that there's a psul yotze by basar kachim kalim. It could be that's only there because it's never going to have a chiyuv to be taken out. You will be able to take it out, but if you want to eat the kachim kalim and the azaruch, why not? Aval hani, but as it relates to the basar of the parim anisrafim, the sirim anisrafim, the soifim lotzeis chayva, why? Maybe it's different. Meaning, the shaila was, according to the mandama that holds a dying lo yigiyas manu lotzeis, that there is a psul yoytze when it comes to basar kachim kalim. Does that mean that there's also a psul yoytze when it comes to the basar, the parim anisrafim, and the sirim anisrafim? Lifnei zrika, or no? What's the tzadnat? The tzadnat is basar kachim kalim will never have a chiyuv to be taken out, as opposed to the basar, the parim anisrafim, the sirim anisrafim. Well, I don't know, could be. Hachinami lo yigiyas manu lotzeis. It's a very nice distinction, but at the end of the day, if there's a svara of a dying lo yigiyas manu lotzeis, and that begets a psul yoytze, so maybe there should be a psul yoytze here as well. So the Gemara says, let's get to work over here. Tashma, I'll bring you a raya. Detani Levi, from Levi's Braisa. What did Levi say? That there was a second Beis Hadesh and that was on the Harabais. And what was it used for? It was used for Parim Anisrafim and Sirim Anisrafim. She'ira behen psul biyitziyasai. My la psul yitzia, doesn't it mean psul yitzia? Now this is gishmak, because what was his lashon? His lashon was she'ira behen psul biyitziyasai. The my la psul yitzia is not just, I don't know, maybe psul yitzia, maybe not. It's more meduyik, actually, if it means psul yoytze, because it sounds a little bit milashoynei hazov shel abraisa shalevi that the psul actually happened biyitziya. But the Gemara says no, loy psul tuma psulina. Biyitziyasi just means it became psul after it left, and it could be the psul was a psul tuma, could be it was a psulina. The bottom line is you have no right. Notice, by the way, the first ibaya was, is there a psulina by parim anisrafim sirim anisrafim? The Gemara thought to bring a raya from Tani Levi. You see, there's a psul that can happen after already leaves. Mara says, who said it's psalina? Maybe it's psal yoytze. The second ibaya of the Gemara was, is there a psal yoytze or not? Mara says, oh, I have a mufurish raya. Mechatez is talking about psal yoytze. Maybe it's talking about psalina. Now, truth is, it could be there's no psal yoytze, there's no psalina, and the really means psal tumo, which is another one of the possibilities. But the bottom line is, you see, zilhacha, that was the second shaila of the Gemara. Shaila number three. By Rabbi Lazar, parman esrafim, usi'irim man esrafim, sheyotza ruboy, the miut efer. So Rashi says, this shayla is really a different shayla. This shayla is talking about a halacha that we spoke about at the end of yesterday's daf, and that is that the parim anisrafim and the sirim anisrafim, when they were taken out of the azara, the kohanim that were involved in taking it out of the azara became tamei. Now did they become tamei? They have that unique tumah that they're tamei that begot. But the bottom line is, they became tamei. It's understood that the kohanim would be tamei as soon as roiv of the animal leaves the azara. So you don't need the whole animal to leave the azara. Rubei kekulai, as soon as roiv goes out, that would be enough. Rabbi Lazar is asking, again, a very Rabbi Yirmiyah diga shayla, but it's a nuanced shayla. Parim anisrafim, usirim anisrafim. Shnei yotza rubei. Fact. Roiv of it went out. But it only is roiv because you have to be mitstarif b'miut efer, the miut of one efer. So if you take the entire animal, you count up, the kamus of the animal, roiv of the animal left the azara. That's good. But in order to get to your roiv, you had to use a miut of an aver, which Taka had left. The problem is roiv of that aver was still inside. So the shayla was, right? Sound like your Rabbi Yirmiyah shayla? So the shayla was, hach miuta de aver, do we say that that miut aver basar ruba shadinan le? We look at it as if it's attached to roiv of its aver, and if that's the case, v'haloi nafkale, it never left, and if it never left, you don't have roiv. As a result, nobody's getting tummy here. Oiduma basaru but the behemah shadinon. Or do you say it left, and it's part of roiv of the behemah, and as a result, it should be tummy? So the Gemara says, I don't even hear the shayla. Pshita, doloi shafkin, and ruba the behemah, vazlina basaru but evar. Being that it left, and it's part of roiv of the animal, the fact that it's also a chiluk of an aver doesn't have the ability to be machriya, the fact that it's roiv of the animal. Meaning, you want that the rubai de kuloi of the Aver should somehow knock out the fact that it's a chelik of the roiv of the animal, right? Because if you look at roiv of the animal, it's outside. It's physically outside, right? If you look at roiv of the Aver, it's inside. The roiv of the Aver is not going to knock out the roiv of the behemoth. Ad kedei kach, the Gemara says, this is pshita elo. So the Gemara says, the shaila must have been a little bit different. Sheyotza chetzioi beroiv Aver. The case was something else. The case was where half of the animal went out. And the only reason you have even half, again, you have half, but the only reason that you have even half is because you have a roiv of a certain Aver. So you do the math, you end up with half. Your cheshbon of half is you have roiv of a certain Aver. Okay. Hai miyuta de Aver, but there's a miyut of that Aver that's really inside. So the question is like this. Do we say that that miyut of the Aver basar roiv Aver shodin ole? We look at it as being part of roiv of the Aver, and if that's the case, vaha nafikle. So now it's going to come out that I don't only have half of the animal that left, I actually have roiv of the animal that left, because again, without the miyut of the Aver, I already have half. If I'm going to take the miyut of the Aver and I'm going to attach it to the roiv, now I'm going to end up with roiv. I don't know, do we say basar? Or do we say that, I don't know, right now it's outside. So if it's right outside, you have a right to look at it if it's inside. Now with regards to this Shiloh, the Gemara says, Teiku, Tishbi Yataris, Kushus Bias. This is not something I'm 100% sure I know the answer to. The Gemara says, this remains as a question for Leo at Tishbi. But the point is, what was the chiluk between the first Nusach of the Shiloh, the second Nusach of the Shiloh? In the first Nusach of the Shiloh, the miut of the Aver, Shalze Anu Donin, is part of the roiv of the behemoth. So if you're going to take that miut and look at it as being part of roiv of its aver, that means roiv aver is going to be machriya connected roiv behemoth. And that, the Gemara says, can't happen. In the second ibaya of the Gemara, the miut aver is not part of the roiv. The roiv is based on the roiv of the aver. If I take the miut of the Aver, and I put it together with the roiv of the Aver, then I'm going to have roiv of the behemoth. But over here, there's no shaila of using roiv Aver to be machriya keneged roiv behemoth. This is already more of a classic Rabbi Yirmiya digashak, against Rabbi Laza. But this is more of a classic such shaila, and this, the Gemara says, is going to be taken. Rabbi Bar, Rafuna Mastin Labagavre. So if this wasn't enough fun, the Gemara brings another nusach of this shaila. This was Rabbi Rafuna Shaila, and he said that this shaila that Rabbi Laza was talking about with regards to roivs and miyats, it wasn't with regards to the behema, it was regards to the gavri. Which Gavri, it's talking about where there were five Kayanim that were Oisnik in the Hoitzah, in taking out the Par Manasrafim and Sir Manasrafim. And this too is related to the halacha that we saw already in the Mishnah. And that is, it was only the Kayanim that physically left the Azara that became Tameh when they brought the out. But any Kehanim that was still inside, not right, the Mishnah was like very wordy about it. The ones that went out, the ones inside, Elu ve'Elu, right, it was almost too wordy. But the bottom line is that's clear, that it's the Kehanim that physically go out with the Par and the Sar, they're the ones that become Tommy, the ones that stay in that. So the Shaila was, what would be if there were five Kehanim that were Isaac, the Nafku, Tlasa, Upashal, Utre. Three of them went out, two of them stayed in. Do we say that we look at Roiv Mesaskin, and this would be a huge Kaddish, and even the two Kehanim that are back home, they're in the Azara, they would also become Tameh because they're somehow Nimshach, Basa the Roiv, Basa the Hemazlinon, or no, there's no such halacha. If you're out, you're out. If you're in, you're in. And the Gemara says, Teiku, this too was a Teiku. So this is a little bit more of a Mechudish to Geshayla, where there's a Havamina to say that as much as the Mishnah said, it's only the Kehanim that left that Tameh, but the ones that stayed back on that Tameh, that's only when you're not going up against a Roiv. But to the extent that you're going up against a Roiv, over there, the Gemara has a tzad that maybe it's different, and that is the teiku of the Gemara. Next shaila, boy, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar, Claire, shaila number four. Par musir manisrafim sheyatzu vechazru mal. And this is maybe the most mechudish tega shailas of all Rabbi Lazar shailas. What would be if the par manisrafim and the sir manisrafim left the azar? Okay, so what happens? Tuma, right? We're not talking about psul yotze now. We're talking about when they left, when they were supposed to have left. Nach dezrika, when the din is supposed to leave. But the Mishnah says that the Kayanim that take it out become Tamei. Now they were Chazru. They came back in. What's the halacha? Mi Amrina, do we say, given the Nafgilu Itmalu, once they leave, So they become tummy, and even though they come back in, so what? How's that going to make them moist tummy? Iduma kiven the hader, unbelievable chiddush. Could be once the kaihanim bring it back in, at that point, there's not going to be any tuma anymore. As if to say, the only reason that the parim anisrofim, the sirah anisrofim, our metama is because we're engaged in the process now of going and burning it. But to the extent that we go backwards and we undo that, then maybe there's not going to be tuma, right? The tuma is not the mitzias that the par and the sar left the azara. The tuma is the fact that we're on our way. We're doing something that is a very big deal that in the cosmic spiritual world somehow creates tumah. Okay, but to the extent that you undid that, the etzem fact that physically the par and the sar were at one point out of the azara, that in and of itself is not a reason for it to create any tumah. This was Rabbi Elazar Shiloh. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bar Mamo. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo said, Toshma, I think I could bring a raya from Unzer Mishnah. Mishnah said, in the event that there were kehanim that were carrying the Parim anisrofim, the sirah anisrofim with poles. Harishoyim yatzu chutzchem es azara, vachoyim lo yatzu. If the people that were in front leading the way, they had left the azara, but the ones in the back didn't, so the halacha is as follows. Harishoyim shiyatzu chutzchem es azara metame begadim. The ones that left are metame, vachoyim ein metame begadim an shiyatzu. And the ones in the back, they don't become tame until they physically leave. Now, if you're going to tell me, keep it in afkilu itmi, that the halacha is that once the parim anisrofim leaves, even if it comes back in, the tumma is a tumma, meaning it doesn't get undone. Then hanuch the ikka gavoy l'tama. So why is it that the kaihanim that stayed inside that never left are not tumma? That says bishloima. If you're gonna tell me just the words of Rabbi Abba Ramo first, that the only time the parim anisrofim and the sirin anisrofim are tumma is if they remain outside, but if they come back in, they're not gonna be tumma. So just like if the par and the sar comes back in, it's not going to be tame. So I would reason then, I would understand why the kayanim that never left, hence they're still inside, are not going to be tame. But if you're going to tell me that once the par and the sar leaves, even if it comes back in, the halacha is that it remains tame, so why the kayanim that never left, are they not tame? Now, those are the words of Rababar Bar Mamo, but it still requires a little bit of hasbara. So Rashi explains. And Rashi says that really the explanation is based on the fact, and we're going to see this more on Amid Beis, that if you look at the pasuk in the Torah, when the Torah says that the kayhanim that were involved in taking the par out became tameh, the Torah is toilet not in the kayhanim leaving. The Torah is really toilet in the par leaving. So really, it's a chiddush that we even say that the kayhanim that were involved in taking the par out, or the sar, but they physically didn't leave yet, that's a reason that they shouldn't be tummy. Why not? The Torah says, yoytzi el michutz lamachin of a sarfu regarding the etzem par. And if that's the case, it's really a chiddush why the kayhanim are not tummy. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo said, you know something? I think I have the matzif. I think I have what's going on over here. Probably the reason the kayhanim are not tummy is because the kayhanim can't be better than the par itself. And if the par itself would come back in after it left, it wouldn't be a problem. So the kehanim that were involved in taking it out, to the extent that they're still inside, it can't be worse. But if you're going to tell me, kiven de itmu itmu, so the mice of these kehanim were involved in taking it out, even though they physically didn't leave, why is that a reason that they shouldn't be tame? But the Gemara says, I'm a Ravina. Ravina said, it's a geshmaka, right? Up of a tizbera, I don't know what you have a minis to even bring a raya from here. Because habi'ina v'acha yovay ala machna v'leka. Pshat in the Mishnah is way more simple. Pshat in the Mishnah is because the pasuk says clearly that the kohen that was involved in taking the par out becomes tameh. He has to go through his tahara, and afterwards he can come back in. Said Ravina, that's the reason those kayhanim are not tameh. The reason those kayhanim are not tameh is because they're in already. The Torah is clearly saying they had to leave. You're making it sound like the Torah doesn't say that they have to leave. The Torah says yotzei es par. So what's pshat? Shtickle Torah. No, the Torah does say they have to leave. You know where the Torah said it? Not in Yoytzi Asapar, in V'acha Yavoy El Amachna. So that's for sure not a raya. So the Gemara says, Elo Ibazoi, Rabbi Loza Hechi Baila. So what exactly was Rabbi Loza's Baila? Now the truth is this line, Elo Rabbi Loza Hechi Baila, is a very, very shver line. What do you mean? We explained what Rabbi Elazar Shaila was. Rabbi Elazar Shaila is a Geshmaka Shaila. Rabbi Elazar Shaila was that to the extent that you take the par and the sar out, and then you bring it back in, does it undo the Toma? Does it not undo the Toma? We even set over a little bit of a hasbara that the Achrayim say in the Shaila, right? Is it physically taking it out that makes a Toma, or is it being mekarivit to the Sreifa that makes a Toma? Now that you brought it back in, you technically undid it. We thought we had a raya from the Mishnah, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo. Ravina fragged up the raya from the Mishnah. Okay, so then Luchair, we're back to Rabbi Elazar Shaila. Sounds like a good Shaila. The Gemara says, no, El Rabbi Elazar, Hechi Bayila. What's the Shaila? Now, to be even more clear, if the Gemara is not sure what Rabbi Elazar Shaila is, then I hear it. It's a fair question. We fetched in a little bit of a pshat. But then the Gemara should have right away said, Rabbi Elazar, Hechi Bayila. I don't understand you, Bayila. Also, the word Ella would be improper. It sounds very much like I tried being pushed in it from the Mishnah. The Tisber, I knocked it out. Once I knock out that Raya from the Mishnah, now I'm all of a sudden stuck with this conundrum. Ella, it's the Rabbi Elazar Hechi Bayila. How did the Shakla Vatarya and whether we have a Raya from the Mishnah or don't have a Raya from the Mishnah somehow undermine Rabbi Elazar's Ibaya that all of a sudden now we're left with this Shaila of Ella Rabbi Elazar Hechi Bayila? If you look at Rashi, Rashi is very, very sussum. If you look at the Chafetz Chaim and the Sefer Lekutei Halachos, he blibes Sarchin and Rashi Pshat. Because it is Kasha, Tois has a whole different Mahalach in the Sugya. Alzen Nemar Ayin Sham. But the bottom line is, just for the Taich of the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Hechi Bayila, the Gemara is like not really sure what Rabbi Elazar's Ibaya is. And just with one Toisefes Neufach, the Gemara thinks that of course it should be Tame. What kind of business is this that now because I brought it back in, all of a sudden it's not going to be Tame? And the Gemara gives a rather complicated answer. The Gemara says, Kigoin de Nikiti La Bibakulsi. The case is talking about where the par and the sar had been taken out of the azar, and then it was brought back into the azar. So to be clear, that's pashut to the Gemara now. That's pashut to the Gemara now that the kehanim that were involved in taking it out, those kehanim are tummy. They were tummy when they took it out. They didn't become ois tummy when it came back in. Coming back into the azar is a mikveh tayra benafidus, and as a result, they didn't become tar. Number one. Number two, that's also pashut. If another kohen would go and take it out, some sveitamol, that kohen for sure would become tummy as well. Right now, you might see it. Michutz lamachni, he took it out of the azara. Just because the first guy is a tummy doesn't mean that the next set are not going to be tummy. They're luchayra, also going to be tummy. The question over here was, is when you had kohanim that were outside and they started schlepping the par and the sar using poles. This babakusi is a pole. And they started schlepping it from outside, just in the azara. Now, they didn't take it physically out of the azara, because if they physically took it out of the azara, then there's nothing to talk about. They're like Kayhanim that took it out of the azara. Stating that, Rabbi Elazar still has it sad that maybe they're going to be tamei. And the reason is, because once you take the par and the sar out of the azara, all the kehanim that engage in it become tamei, right? The ones that took it out, the ones that are involved in the sreifa. We're going to see more about this in the course of the daf. But all these kehanim are tamei. The kehanim that now that are bringing it out since sveitimah, even if they didn't physically take it out, but they're engaging right now in a par and a sar that had once gone out, and being that the par and the sar had once gone out, so now the loy gara from a person that would engage with it on the Rechavis Yerushalayim, where it didn't come back in. And just like those kayhanim would be tameh, because they're involved in the paramanis rafim and the sirmanis rafim, so these kayhanim could be, would be tameh as well, for being metapel in the par and the sar, despite the fact that right now it's in the azara. That's Rabbi Elazar Shaila. Rabbi Elazar Shaila is not that maybe when the par goes back in, it undoes the tumah. Rabbi Elazar Shaila is something else. That it could be when the par goes back in, we still see it as if it's outside. Well, my nafkimina. Nafkimina is if there's a coin that's metapo with it, that coin would be tummy. Tummy mamanam shach. What do you mean? If that coin's metapo with it, see, he's taking it out anyways. The teretz is no. It's talking about where he's outside and he's metapolic while it's inside. That's where it would be negated the shaila. Now, why wouldn't the shaila be negated in even a more simple case? Where the coin is inside. He's inside, and he's being metapel with the par and the sire while it's inside, but the par and the sire had once been outside. Same shaila. Do you say, being that it was once outside, now even if it's inside, so mele, any kind that's metapolit is going to be tamei or not? Right? What essentially is the shaila? We're saying the shaila is not that when the power comes back inside, it undoes everything that happened. The shaila is that it could be even when the power comes back inside, we look at it as if it's still outside. Okay, so lamai nafkimina. So the nafkimina would be where the kayanim are outside and they're being metapolit. Why don't you just keep it simple where the kayanim took it out? No, because if they took it out, it's bosh, they're going to be tamei. The shaila is where they're anyways outside. Maybe the shaila should be where they're anyways inside, which is a more normal case. You know why? Because you don't need this bapulsi, this Greek pole or whatever this is. So you don't even need this inyan. So wouldn't that be a more simple case? So what's the answer? The answer is pasha, if you're holding cheshbon. The answer is because if the kohen doesn't leave, he can't be tame. We just said a minute ago, that's pasha, the kohen has to be outside. And that's why this kohen has to be outside. It's not negeya if he's not outside. If he's not outside, it's not negeya. So the shaila is where he's outside, but the par and the sar is inside. You didn't physically take it out because that's easy. But it had once been outside, so it's the Kemen Klaren. We look at it as a Parim Anistrofim, Sirin Anistrofim, that was already outside, so a coin that's Oysa, it is going to be Tomei, or maybe not. Either way, that was the Shaila of Rabbi Lazar. And again, the Gemara has no Pshitos to this Shaila. Moving along. So the Gemara now is going to bring a Braisa, which is going to talk more about the Parim Anistrofim and the Sirin Anistrofim. And it's actually going to marry the Parim Anistrofim and the Sirin Anistrofim with some of the other complex types of karbonis. Specifically, the Par and the Soir, specifically the Soir HaMishtaleach and the Paradu. So, what do the Parim Anistrofim, Sirim Anistrofim, the Sar HaMishtaleach, and the Par Aduma have in common? Right? So, if somebody asks you this question, what do they have in common? Besides for the fact that all Shveris, Sugis, and Shas. But what do these things have in common? What they have in common is they're all Avatomas. They're all Avatomas, but they're only Mitama in very, very unique situations. So, the circumstances have to be very specific. The stars have to be perfectly aligned in order for them to be metama. How so? The Parim Anistrofim and the Sirim Anistrofim are metama. Does that mean if somebody touches the Parim Anistrofim, the Sirim Anistrofim becomes tami? No. You have to be one of the Kehanim that's engaged in the Sreifa. According to the Chacham in the Mishnah, taking it out of the Azara, according to Rav Shimon, who we saw at the end of the Mishnah, we'll see more at the end of the Daf, you actually have to be involved in burning it. But the bottom line is that if you're engaged in the Parim Anistrofim and the Sirim Anistrofim, that's where it's negated that this Tumah is going to be Chal. Same is true for the Par Aduma. The Torah says that the Kohen that burnt the Par Aduma, he was Metame Begadav. He was Tame, his Begadav became Tame. The Sar Mishtaleach was the same thing. The Kohen that was involved in the Avodah of taking the Sar Lazazel, he also became Tomei. So these are three situations where you have an Avatoma, but at the same time, the Tumah is only in certain circumstances. If somebody simply goes over to it and touches it, he's not going to be Tomei. Stating that, we're about to see now Machlokes Remein the Chachamim, just to give it away, spoiler alert. We're going to learn this Braisa in 1 minute, but spoiler alert nonetheless, and that is that the Tanoim held that although these three things, the Torah says are only metama in certain circumstances, what that means is they only have the status of an avatoma in certain circumstances. They can be metama Adam and Kalim, right? They have the chaymer of an avatoma. But at the same time, they do have a tuma kala in all situations where they can be metama oichlan. That they for sure are going to have. It's very bichiddush, doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. The Torah says specifically that there are certain situations where they are going to be metama. In other situations, you don't find that they're going to be metama. Kamash malon, that no. These things have the ability to be metama. These things have the ability to be metama, albeit tumakala, oichlin and mashkin, basheru sham, even the way they are. By the way, another category that goes into this conversation, right? We mentioned the Parim Anistrofim, the Sirim Anistrofim. We mentioned the Sar Mishtaleach, and we mentioned the Par Aduma. What's another one? The Nevela of an Oiftar, right? Nivlas Oiftar. Nivlas Oiftar is also something that's an Avatoma, but it's only Metama Bebeis Hapliya. If somebody touches it, he's not going to be Tame. But there's a Sugya now that we're about to learn. By the way, it's going to take us through the majority of the rest of the Daf. This Avoida right now. These things that are an Avatoma, which is a tumah chamura, but only in certain circumstances, stating that as it relates to tumah kala, being a tumah v'tama, oichlenu mashkin, that already they're going to have the ability to always do. A braisa, machlikes remain the chachamim, a whole bunch of follow-up ibayas, similar to the beginning of the daf. That is the next part of today's avoda. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, pardon. Uparo visar hamishtaleach hamishaleach hasarfon v'hamoitzion. Right, samashaleach regarding the sar mishtaleach hasarfon regarding the pora aduma v'hamoitzion regarding the porim hanisrofin metame begotim. Right, the person himself becomes tame and his metame is begotim. The hein atzmon ainu metame begotim, but the things themselves are not metame begotim. Right? Meaning, if somebody would touch it, not burn it, not be moitzi it, not be mishaleach it, but somebody would simply touch it, it wouldn't be metame into metame begotim. Avo, metame oichlo mashkin. But these things could be metame oichlo mashkin, divi rameir. Again, we gave it away already, we know what this means. The chachomim say, para, uparim metame oichlo mashkin. I agree with regards to para aduma, and I agree with regards to the parim anisrofen. However, sara mishtaleach in a matama. But as it relates to the sara mishtaleach not, and the reason is shehu chai, because the sara mishtaleach is alive, v'achai in a matama oichlo mashkin. And a chai can't be matama oichlo mashkin. Now, by the way, this should not be taken out of context, because it's not 100% true. A chai, a human chai, could be matama oichlo mashkin, right? A person could become an avatoma, and he could be matama oichlo mashkin. But it's a behemoth that's chai, that can never be matama oichlo mashkin. So again, Sai Rameh, Sai the Chachamim agreed to this concept, that these avhatumis that are only metam in certain situations, that limitation that they have, that situation only qualifies its ability to be metam as an avatum, to be metam begotten. But as it relates to be metam oichlo mashkin, to treat it like a source of tumah, that it's going to have. What's the machloikis? Machloikis is it negay of the sar mishtaleach, or is it not negay of the sar mishtaleach? According to Rameir, yeah, it's negay of the parim, the para, and the sar mishtaleach. Whereas, according to the chachamim, it's not negay of the sar mishtaleach. Why not? Because the sar mishtaleach is a chai. And being that you never find that a chai is matama oichlon mashkin here too. So the Gemara says like this: Bishlemi the Rameyer, Bishlemi Rameyer, who said it's true for the parim and the para and the sar. I know it's Makarki, the Tanda of Rabbi Shmuel. It's based on a price that was told in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. Tanda of Rabbi Shmuel. It says in the Torah, v'chiyipa minivlasan al kol zera zerua asher yizorea taru. So what's this pasuk talking about? This is a well-known pasuk. The pasuk is talking about a sheretz falls on top of something that's growing or something that a person has, and the person is tefriden about the fact, and the thing was wet. It was hukshal kabel toma. The person was happy about the fact that it became wet. So then the halacha is that thing is going to be tummy, right? And this is where we learn the halacha of mesachtes machshirim. We learn the concept that the only time something can become tummy is if it was first mukshal kabel toma. So we learn that from alcohol zera zerua, that there's an idea that just because a sheretz falls on top of zera doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be metamed. It has to first be mukshal kabel tumah through one of the mashkin, and then there has to be a nichusa from the standpoint of the bailim. Afterwards, if one of the shmein shrotzim would fall on it, it would be tummy. Either way, so in the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they had the following brisa: mazron she'in soifen letamei tumah chamura zroim will never be an avatoma. They'll never have the ability to be metama toma chamura. It's a tricky drasha. Zeram will never be in a situation where it's a nevela, where it's a zav, it's a metzayra, right? It'll never be in a position where it's an avatoma that it can go now and convey toma chamura. Vitzrich and hechsher. Then, and only then, do you need hechsher in order for it now to be shayach tatoma. It could be tome if there was a hechsher. What's the hechsher? You need the mashkin, there has to be a nichusa, that would create the hechsher. Av kol, so too, everything, she ain't safe on the tamei tome chamura, tzrich an hechsher. You can't just become tamei, you have to be mukshal lekabel tome. Yotze so nivlas oiftar, so Rabbi Shmuel's Brice was talking about the nevela of an oiftar, she safe li tamei tome chamura, which will be tome chamura, right? How could it be tamei tome chamura, the nevela of an oiftar, in the event it's in a base abliya, then it becomes a cheftza of an avatoma, and then it's metama begodim, right? Now it becomes already an avatoma. A situation like that is ve'ein tzricha hechsher. It does not require hechsher. What does it mean it does not require hechsher? It means it doesn't need any preparation in order for it to now become tummy in the event that one of the Shmoyne Shvatzim fall on it. You know why? Because it's tummy right now. That's the point. That a Zera Hazerua, it's not just tummy, it becomes tummy through the whole parish of Masechtas Machshirin. But that's because Zera Hazerua is not Soifal Litami. It's never going to be an Avatoma. But anything that at some point is going to become an Avatoma, the example of Tanit Rabbi Yishmael was the Nivla Soif Tar, it's automatically Tame right now, and it has the ability to be Matama Oichlun Umashkin. That's what Tanit Rabbi Yishmael said in this Brisa. So the Gemara says like this, Rameyer in his Brisa is for sure coming from this Tanit Rabbi Yishmael. Again, it's a Mechudish Tegedrasha, but that's obviously where he's coming from. Tanit Rabbi Yishmael said it regarding the Nivela of an Oif Tar. Rameyer said it with regards to the Paraman Isrofim, the Para Aduma, and the Sara Mishtalech, but it's Hainu Hach. Achayna, right? It's the same exact thing. These are all things that are soifal l'tamei tumei chamura. In certain situations, the nivlas oiftar, if it's in the beis habliya, the parah manisrafin, if someone's moitziyit, the parah aduma, if someone's seirifit, the sar mishtalech, if someone's mishtalechit, all these things do not need any hechsher in order for them to be metama oichlun umashkin, the memela metama oichlun umashkin. So there's a new din, that anything that's seifal letam, tumah chamura, automatically, right now, has the ability to be metam. So the Gemara says, bishloi merab meyer, I understand, because this mechudish tegir meyer is mamish taid, identical halacha to the mechudish tigatana of Rabbi Shmuel. Again, Rameh was talking about parim para and sarmish talech. Rabbi Shmuel is talking about the nivlas oiftar, but like we said in the introduction and the spoiler, it's all one and the same. And there's a makar in Tana of Rabbi Shmuel. As a result, we know time at the Rameh, El Rabbanon, but according to the Rabbanon, Mamon of Shach, he excluded Tanit Rabbi Yishmael, if they hold of Tanit Rabbi Yishmael's drasha, Afilo Asar Mishtalech Nami, and Ilesle Afilo Paru Paru Minalon. Either they hold of this halach of Soifa Latame, well, if that's the case, Sar Mishtalech is also Soifa Latame, and if not, not. Where did they come to be Mechalik between Sar Mishtalech? Just to explain this a little bit better. This Tumma doesn't seem like it's working with any rationale, right? Like Mechatese. There's a new din, it's like Zeres HaKosev, that anything that's Soifa L'tamei Tomei Chamura becomes Tomei Achshav. So what's the Rabbanan saying? The Rabbanan is saying, but the Sar Mishtalech is a Chai, and a Chai is not Metama. I hear, this is your Kasha. This whole Toma is a Pliya Digger Toma. The Teretz is, there's a din, Soifa L'tamei Tomei Chamura becomes Tomei right now. So who cares that the Sar Mishtalech is Chai right now? If you hold it a drasha, it should make no difference. So Tainis the Gemara Ramanav Shach. Either they hold it a drasha, in which case they should hold like Rameir. If they don't hold it a drasha, then Para. So the Gemara says, Rav Dimi. Wow, this was one of the shiles that we needed Rav Dimi for. So Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Amar, he said, Amri b'marava. I'll tell you what they say in Eretz Yisrael. Tzrichin hechsher tumo mimakamachen. The way Rashi explains this is that even though Tanit Rabbi Shmuel said this mechudesh degedrasha, that's something that Soifa Letame is considered tummy right now and it doesn't require hechsher, it doesn't mean that we can negate all hilchas tumo. Right, doesn't mean that something that's Soifa L'tameh, all the rules and regulations of Tumah do not apply. All it means is that ordinarily, in order for something to become Tameh, you have to become Tameh. That's to be a Hechsher, it has to come in contact with Tumah, that's the way it becomes Tameh. That, which it states in the Torah, in the parish of Echiyipam and the Vlasam Al-Kol Zeru Zeru Asher Yizareh, that doesn't apply when it comes to something that's Soifa L'tameh Tumah Chamura. But if there's a studious digger reason why this thing can't become Tameh, because there's a din in Hilchas Tumah that says, for example, that a Chai can't become Tameh. I don't see in this drasha not that way. All I see in this drasha is that with regards to the requisite steps that are needed ordinarily for something to become tameh, the machshirim digger process, that's something that you don't need for something that's soifa l'tameh. Good. But if there's a zeitiger reason why this thing can't become tameh, and that's because it's a chai, and there's no mitzias of a behemoth that's chai that's ever going to be tameh, well, just because this is soifa l'tameh, that's not necessarily a reason that that should be an issue. So the oilam, the chachamim hold like Tanit v'Rabbi Shmuel, like Rameir holds of Tanit v'Rabbi Shmuel, but they are mechalik and they hold that you have to just take this within a certain context. Rameir took it with zero context. Anything that's soifa l'tameh, tumah chamura is automatically be included. According to the Chachamim, Zok the Gemara. Ready? Bye, Rabbi Lazar. We now return to our regular program. Rabbi Lazar had a shnayla part usir manisrafim ma'ushi yitama oichlin umashkin bifnim kibuchotz. So Rabbi Lazar heard this braisa. He heard that Rameir and the Chachamim both agree that when it comes to Parim HaNisrafim and Sirim HaNisrafim, the halacha is that their mitama oichlun umashkin, even though they never came in contact with Tumah, there was no machshirim process, because it's oifel atama Tumah chamura, which it is, and as a result, it's going to be tummy. Right? So you want to know, is that true even in the Azara? Or maybe it's only true when it's out of the Azara. What's the shayla? Mechusi yitzia ke mechusa maisa dami oiloi. Right now it's mechusa yitzia. So do we view it as being mechusa maisa, or do we not view it as being mechusa maisa? The way the Achronim explained the Gemara's Kasha, or Rebbe Lazar's Ibaya, is very gishmak. And that is, what's the premise of this mechudesh tegatoma? It's learned out from Tanit Verab Yishmo, that anything that's soifa letame tome chamura doesn't require hechsher. So, parim anasrafim, sirim anasrafim, a soifa letame tome chamura, as a result, it shouldn't require any hechsher. Stating that, it could be, the only time it's considered soifa letame tome chamura is when it's not in a state where it requires a maisa in order for it to get to the point where it's going to be able to be metame tumah chamur. But to the extent that it's mechusa maisa, I have to do a maisa in order to get it to the point where it's going to be able to be metame tumah chamur, so it's not considered yet soifa letame tumah chamur. What's the basis of the tumah? Soifa letame tumah chamur. To the extent that right now it needs a maisa, so it's not soifa letame tumah chamur. Oh, I'll do a maisa. Okay, do the maisa, and then we'll have a conversation, right? But right now you didn't do the maisa yet. So, do you say that mechusa yitzio is ke mechusa maisa? If mechusa yitzio is ke mechusa maisa, then I can't see it now as soifa letame tumah chamura, so it's not going to be metame the tumah kali either. Or you like, or maybe no. So the Gemara says, basnar de ibaya hadar pashta mechusa yitzio ke mechusa maisa dami, and as a result, in the Azara itself, it won't have the ability to be metame. Another shot. Boy, me'ne rab abba bar shmu, me'ne rab chia bar abba, nivlas oif tahar. Then a veil of an oiftar, li Rab Meir, according to Rab Meir, ma'u she yitama b'kezayas. Could it be metama b'kezayas, or could it not be metama b'kezayas? This is another fun shayla. Background. Tumas oichlin is b'kebeya, right? Oichlin only becomes tame, or is metama b'kebeya. Now, truth is a shayla. When we say tumas oichlin b'kebeya, does it mean that it could only be metama when it's a beya, or does it mean it only becomes tame when it's a beya? To keep things simple, let's go with Shitas Rashi and Shas. Tumas Oichlim Mikabeh means that it doesn't even become Tameh to the extent that it's Pachas Mikabeh. So if you have less than a Beya's worth of Oichlim, it could come in contact with Tumah from today till tomorrow, it's not going to be Metam. Stating that, Rab Abba Bar Shmuel had the following Shaila. If you have the Nevela of an Oiftar, that's Pachas Mikabeh, it's a Kezayas, Loit Rab Meir. Would it be metame or would it not be metame? What's the shayla? It's true tumas oichlin ordinarily is bikabeya. But why is the nevel of an oiftar right now tame? Because it's soifa letame tumah chamur. Really, it should only be tame when it's in the beis abliya. But when it's going to be in the beis abliya, it's going to be an avatoma. It's soifa letame tumah chamur. That's enough for it to be metame. How much of the nivlas oiftar has to be in the base sabli in order for it to be an avatoma? You don't need a kebeya for that. For that, a kezayis is already enough. So yesh loimar, that maybe right now a kezayis would be enough to have this tumah. Or maybe no. Or maybe there's a din. Tumas oichlin. This is classic tumas oichlin. And tumas oichlin is always a kebeya. So maybe I would need a beya. Now notice, the shaila was loit rameya. The shaila was loit rameya. Now, first glance, what does this have to do with rameya? Right? L'chayra, the machloikis Rameh and the Chachamim was only regarding the Sarah Mishtalech. When it comes to Nivlas Oiftar, Parim, Para, right? There's no machloikis over here. Fakir, the Gemara said, even the Chachamim hold like Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. So, L'chura, this Shaila of Nivlas Oiftar, based on Seifel Atame Tome Chamura, maybe it should be Tame Tumas Oichlin B'Kezayis, it should be a Shaila Rabbanon as well. So Rashi asks the Kasha, and Rashi says that the Gemara was coming not because it has like a direct reason why this should be a child like Rameir versus like the Rabbanan. But you see that Rameir and Rabbanan have a different standard when it comes to what Soifa Letama Tumah Chamura is able to do. Rameir said, even a Sarah Mishtalech that's alive, where ordinarily a Chay is not Metama, but Soifa Letama is a new Metzias, it's a new Mechayev, and it can bypass all the regular rules and regulations when it comes to Tumah. Chum said no. Chum said, as it relates to Machshirin, that I'm willing to look away from. But as it relates to anything else, no. No way in the world. You're not going to say a live thing all of a sudden now is going to be able to convey Tumah. really, really, this kebeya is a similar shaila, because there's a general rule that says that oichlin is only metame. Because forget about machshirin. There's a din that you have to have a kebeya's worth. So like the rabbanon, that it wouldn't work for the chai. So it makes sense too that it wouldn't work for this either. But like rameir, that you find that it works even for a chai. So there's this new din that anytime it's soifel letame, well, even a kezayis is soifel letame. So just like you can have this chiddush that emerges from this new type of tumah called a chai being metama, then maybe Pachas Mikabeya should also have the ability to be metama. Either way, this was the Shaila. Nivlas oif tar lira meu maushi tama bikazais. Stating that, the Gemara refines the Shaila a little bit. The machta la'ara, in the event that right now this kazayas of Nivlas oif tar is on the floor, loiti bailach, there wouldn't even be a Shaila. And the reason that there wouldn't be a Shaila is because right now it's on the floor, it's so far removed from the Beis Habliya, which is where it needs to be in order for it to be able to be Matama, that it's not even considered Soifa Latama Tumah Chamura, and as a result, there would be no issue. Denokit Bepume, if it's in his mouth, also Loti Bayalach, because the Gemara holds Fakir, that's Poshet. Like Rameyer, it's not even a shayla. Kiti bayalach, what is the shayla? The nakat le biyade, where he was holding it in a sense. It's not on the floor, and it's also not in his mouth. Do we say mechusa kreva ka mechusa maisa dami? The fact that you have to bring it to your mouth, that's considered mechusa maisa. I lie, or maybe the fact you have to put it in your mouth, that already not. Amalei, so he told him back, mechusa kreva lavka mechusa maisa dami. All it is mechusa kreva. Mechusa kreva is not ka mechusa maisa, and as a result, that's poshit, that loit. Rameyer, who holds that Soifa L'tama Tumah Chamura can bypass all the regular halachas of Tumah, so you would have a Tumah of Kala on a Kezayas of Nivlas Oif Tahar, even if it's not in his mouth, even if it's simply in his hand. Eisvei, but the Gemara has a Akasha from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Tyrus. Shloisha Asa Dvarim Nemru B'Nivlas Oif Tahar. There were 13 halachas that was said regarding the Nevela of an Oif Tahar. The Gemara is not going to go through all 13. V'zeh Echad Mehem. This is one of them. Tzrichen Machshava. It requires Machshava. Now, it's a big shiloh what Tzrichen Machshava means. It's also a stira in Rashi in different places. What Tzrichen Machshava means. We're going to go with the simpler pshat, which is not what Rashi says over here in Masechta Zvachim. It's what the other Rishonim say here, and it's what Rashi says elsewhere. And that is Tzricha Machshava, that the person has to have a Machshava to want to eat the Nevela of an Oif Tahar, in order for the Nevela of Oif Tahar to have the ability to be Matama Beis Habliya. He has to have a Machshava that I want to treat it like an Oichel. Why would you want to treat it as an Oichel? So you have to have that Machshava in order for it to be Matama. Okay. The Ein Tzricha Hechsher, it doesn't require any Hechsher. What does that mean? That's the halacha that we've been talking about, that it's automatically metama oichlin. U'metama tumachs oichlin bikebeya. And you want to know what the shir for tumachs oichlin is? Bikebeya. So Gemara says, my love, Rameyer. Aren't we probably talking about Rameyer? It's not Mishnah Rameyer. And if we're talking about Rameyer, what do you see from here? That even Rameyer holds that you have to have a kebeya. Oh, it's mefurish. That even though the nivlas oif tar is metama bebeis abliya bikezayis, but when it comes to being metama oichlin, it requires the beya. Because the shir tumachs oichlin is always kebeya. The Gemara says, loy rabbanon he. It's not going according to Rameir, it's really going according to Rabbanon. The Gemara says, Vaktani Reisha, it has to be Rameir, because the Reisha said, Tzricha Machshava, the Ein Tzricha Hechsher, Man Shambali Haisvar. Who's the one that holds that Tzricha Machshava? It's Rameir. Umid Reisha Rameir, Seifanami Rameir. Now, if you look at the Rishonim here on the side of the Gemara, so the Rishonim say, no one knows where this Rameir is, that Rameir holds that it's Tzricha Machshava. Ad Kidei Kach, Shita Mekubetzes and others are not even Gerus, that whole line of Gemara. But either way, we'll read it the way we have it inside. Who's the one that holds Tzricha Machshava? It's Rameir. So if the Reish is Rameir, then the Seif is also Rameir. The Gemara says, Midi Iria, Hakad Isa, Hakad Isa. When it says Tzricha Machshava, that's going according to Rameir. When it says, Umetama Tumas Oichlam, the Kabeya, that's not Rameir. That's only according to the Chacham, because according to Rameir and Echinami, a Kezayas, in itself will be enough. But the Gemara says, I have another problem. So Midi Pani Seif, if you go weiter in that Mishnah, 13 things. That's a long Mishnah, right? If you go back in that Mishnah, look towards the Sefer. Shchitasa umilikasa mitaheres treifasa mitumasa. This is a halacha that we've seen already, and that is in the event that somebody shechts an oif, or somebody shechts a behemo, or someone does milik on an oif, and you find that afterwards it was a treif. It's obviously not allowed to eat it. But the question is, do we say that the shchito or the milika was mitaheret mitay tumas nevelo or not? Right? Shchitas Treifa, is that Mitarme de Tumas Nevela? Malika's Treifa, is that Mitarme de Tumas Nevela? Right, this brings us back to Perek Chatazoyev. But the bottom line is, it says Mefurish in the Mishnah, yeah. Shchitaso Malikasa, Mitaheres Treifasa, Mitumasa. Zokter Man, Shamalei Haisvara, who's the one that holds that? It's Rameyer. We know it's Rameyer. Someone says, okay, so let me make sure I'm getting this right. So you're telling me, Reishna Vesefer Rameyer Mitzias Rabbanon? When it says Tzricha Machshav, I know it's Rameyer. When it says Metamatum Asaychon B'Kibay, you tell me it's with the Rabbanon. And when it says Shchitasa B'Kasa B'Tahar Tzrivasa B'Tumasa, I know it's Rameyer. So the Reisha and the Sefer is Rameyer and the Mitzias is the Rabbanon. Mar says, and absolutely. Reishna Vesefer Rameyer Umitzias Rabbanon. The bottom line is, you have no Raya. You have no raya from this Mishnah. One more ayin shum before we go weiter, and that is the Gemara thought to bring a raya from this Mishnah that it says umetame tumas oichlam bekebeya. Presumably it's Rameyer. First of all, Stamish is Rameyer, and the Reish and the Sefer we know is Rameyer. So that part's also probably Rameyer. So what do you see from here? Oh, Rameyer holds that what's the shear of tuma when it comes to the tumas oichlin of nivlas oiftar? It's probably bekebeya. So this is an esve. It's a bomb kasha on the aforementioned Gemara. Frank Rashi, this is Rashi's kasha. I don't know what the kasha is. If you remember, when the Gemara had it sad to say that Nivlas Oiftar would be Matamba Bekazayas, the Gemara said the Shaila is only when it's in your hand. Meaning if it's inside your mouth, then it was Pasha to the Gemara, true. In the hand, that was the Shaila, but the Gemara said that if it's Machis Ha'ara, if it's on the ground, Loiti Boyalach, it was Pasha to the Gemara that it would only be Matamba. It would not be Metama Bekezayas. So maybe this Mishnah that says that the Nivlas Oiftar is Metama Bekebeya is talking about where it's on the ground. And if it's on the ground, it's Pashat, even I'll leave it to Rameyer, that it's Metama Bekebeya, not Bekezayas. Again, this is an Ayin Sham. Zok de Gemara Vaita, another Geshmaki Gemara. Amalei Rav Hamnuna Le Rav Zeir. Rav Hamnuna told Rav Zeir, Loi Teset Akarech, do not sit down at the Amrit Li Hamilsa until you answer the following question. We would be standing the rest of our life if someone asked us this question. But either way, like Tesev Akarech at the Amritli Hamilsa. Nivlas Oiftar, the Rameyer, the Nevela of an Oiftar. Right, don't try this at home. According to Rameyer, Mainanlar Risha Vishaini. Oi, A Mainanlar Risha Vishaini. Rebite Damakula, what's going on over here? We gotta do this again. Again, says the Gemara, the Nevela of an Oiftar. Like Rameyer. What's the Shaila? The Shaila is, so we have this Chiddush, comes from the Pasuk, in the Brayis of Tani, the Rabbi Yishmael, that the Nevel of an Oiftar, and by the way, also the Par Manistrof and the Sir Manistrof, and also the Par Aduma, we're going to Rameyer, so even the Sar Mishtalech, these things are Ometam Tumas Oichlin. The question is, do we say it when it touches Oichel? The Oichel becomes a Rishon L'Toma, so now the Oichel can go weiter and it can be Metam, it can make a Sheni L'Toma? Or maybe when it touches the Oichel, it makes it a Sheni L'Toma, which is Atkan Oimrim B'Shabbos HaGadol, which means it won't be able to go weiter and convey additional Toma to Chulin, but to make it a Rishon, to be able to make it into a Sheni, that not. This was the Shail. So this M'chudish Tega Tumas Oichlin, because of the fact that it's Soif L'Tama Tumah Chamura, does it make Rishon L'Toma, or does it jump all the way to make a Sheni L'Toma? Now here too, the Shaila of the Gemara was only L'Rameir. The Shaila wasn't according to Chamim, which again, you have to know why. Chamim agree with Rameir. They only Chayim with Rameir regarding the Sar Mishtaleach. So why would this be a Shaila according to Rameir? So again, you have to say that it's Tafka Libid Rameir, who's Mailin, who has his global perspective of this tuma is to make it a more serious tuma that we have a Havamina, that it makes a Rishon, that we fight to have the ability to make a Sheni. But according to Chaman, there was never a Shaila. So regardless, Rav Hamnuna told Rav Zeira, do not sit down until you answer this Shaila. Rav Zeira knew what to say. Amalei told him, Kol Heicha de Metama Adam ben Maga. Anytime you have a tum, that it would be have the ability to be Metama, an Adam, a person by contact, that type of tum is Oysarishin Vishen. Kol Heicha de Metama Adam ben Maga. But if you have a tum that doesn't have the ability to be Metama Adam ben Maga, such as this tum, right, it's only Metama Oichlin, it's not Metama Adam ben Maga, in Moinu Barishin Vishen, it doesn't have the ability to be Metama Barishin Vishen. But even Rav Zeira, Mirab Amar Barchio. So now Rav Zeira is the one asking the question. Rav Zeira went and he asked this question to Rav Ami Barchio. Amar, some say he asked the question to Rav Abin Bar Kahana. Hodetnan, we learned in a Mishnah, and some changed the Gersa to Hodetanya. The reason is because it's not a Mishnah. This that we learned in a Braisa, Chiburei Oichlin Ayidei Mashka, Chibur L'Tumah Kala, Ve'en Chibur L'Tumah Chamur. So this is talking about where somebody has half a shear of Oichlin that's Tameh, and another half a shear of Oichlin that's Tameh. But there's a mashka, some body of water, that's being mechaber the two things. So the halach is, it's a chibur l'tumakala. It's considered a chibur for this to be able to be metama tumakala, but not to be metama tumakamura. So the question was, it's metama tumakala. It means if it comes in contact with oichlun umashkin, it's going to convey tumah. Reb Zera wanted to know, moina by Risha v'sheni? Ayin moina by Risha v'sheni? Is it going to be subject to Risha v'sheni or not? Do we say it makes a Risha that can make a sheni? Well, they say, told them, kolechet metama adam, moina by Risha v'sheni, ein metama adam, ein moina by Risha v'sheni. So it's interesting. The first shaila was regarding our sugya. It was asked to Reb Zera. This is Reb Zera's answer. Here, Reb Zera was the one asking the question, and the answer that was given to him was the same exact answer. Meaning, being that over here, it's not metama tumachamura, so even when it's metama tumachawa, it's only going to be metamet, but not with Rishon Vesheni as well. We're not finished. We're going till the end of the parak. Yotzo Elu Ve'elu. So in the Mishnah, we saw a machloikis between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon. When exactly the ones that were oisek in the Purim Hanisrafim and the Sirim Hanisrafim became tame. According to Chacham, they became tame when they left the Azar, which was one of the themes that underpinned today's daf. According to Reb Shimon, it was only the ones that were involved in the actual Sreifa that became tame. Now the Pasuk that talks about this Tuma, where do you even find this in the Torah? So it's in Pashas Achrimos. It's Vayirka Perek Tazayin, which of course is the Avoid on Yom Kippur. The Torah says as follows: Ve'is parachatos, ve'isir achatos, ashehuva es domam lechaper bakoidesh. The chatois and the seirim hapnimiyos that were brought on Yom Kippur, yoytzni al mechutz lamachne, should be taken out of the machne. Ve'sarfu ba'esh es oyroisam ves besarim ves pirshim, they should be burnt. Va'soyreif oysam. The one that burnt them, yichabis begadav, he has to wash his clothing. Ferochatz b'sar b'mayin, and he has to go to the mikvah himself as tamei. Ve'achikin yovel amachne, and then and only then, we saw this pasuk earlier, is he able to return to the machne. Truth is, if you look at the psukim, what do the psukim sound like? Reb Shimon, v'asoyreif oysam, yichabis begadav, ferochatz b'sar b'mayin. Saying that, Chum and the Mishnah say that even the one that took the par already and took the sar out of the machne is going to be tamei. And also, to be clear, even though these psukim are in Parshas Achrimos talking about the par and the sar and Yom Kippur, they're really true for all the par manasrafim, all the sirim manasrafim. So there's a little bit of work to do in terms of figuring out how we take two psukim tucked away in Parshas Achrimos that don't even sound like Shitas HaChachamim, and all of a sudden we create the Shitas HaChachamim and we apply it broadly to all the different par manasrafim and sirim manasrafim. So on that note, Zokt the Gemara. Yatsa Elu Ve'elu. Minanimili. What's the makar to this idea? This idea that what? That the Chachamim hold that once the Kohen takes the part Manasrof and the Sir Manasrof and added the Azara, he becomes Tommy. The Tan Rabbanu learned in the Braisno. Lahalon hu oimer chutz l'gimel machnes. Now, the Lahalon over here is talking about, really, I should say the Lahalon over there, but the Lahalon of this Gemara is talking about the Par Kohen Mashiach and the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. That two are examples of Parim Hanisrafim. And there the Torah says that the Mokoyim of the Sreifa was Chutz L'Gemul Machnas. We'll see where the Torah says that. V'kan L'Machnachas. And over here it just says, Yoytzi El Michutz L'Machana. You know why? Lo'im Elichot to tell you. Kivin Sheyotza Chutz L'Machnachas Metame Begodim. At that point, the Tumah is already going to be in effect. In other words, the Gemara is tiny like this. It's understood that all Parim HaNisrafim and Sirim HaNisrafim, the Sreifa was done Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas. If that's the case, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Ve'is Parachatos, Ve'isir Achatos, Ashehu Ve'ez Dom L'Chaber Bakoidesh, Yoytzi El Michutz L'Machane, one Machane. It's Yoytzi El Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas. Must be that this pasuk of Yoytzei Mechutz LaMachaneh is not describing the Mokom HaSreifa. Because that I know from the Parakoy Mashiach and the Paralam Davish Al Tzibur was done Chutz L'Shalosh Machaneh. This is talking about when the Tumah descends. When it's Yoytzei Mechutz LaMachaneh, now you have the next pasuk. Yichabes Begadav, V'rachas Psarei B'moyim. That's when all this is playing itself out. But it can't be that this pasuk is just telling me the Mokom of where the Sreifa was. Because I know from Lahalon Chutz L'Gemul Machnas. So it must be this is something else. This is talking about when the Tumah is going to descend. It says, okay, how do I know that the Par Kohen Mashiach and the Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibur, the Sreif had to be Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas, which is the basis that the Par and the Sar and Yom Kippur also had to be Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas. So when it says in the Torah, Yoytzei Mechutz L'Machnas, it's not referring to the Mokom HaSreifa, but rather what it's referring to is when the Kohen, who's involved in it is going to become tame. So the Gemara says, for that we need to learn a braisa. The Tanu Rabbanon, v'hoitzni es kol apar, el michutz lamachna. That pasuk is talking about the par koy Mashiach. It says, v'hoitzni es kol apar, el michutz lamachna, el mokam tar, el shefach hadeshen, v'sarif oisei, el eitzim ba'ish, el shefach hadeshen yisarif. That's the halacha that you had to burn the basnor of the par koy Mashiach. Chutz l'gimel machnas. When it says, v'hoitzi es kol ha-paro michutz ha-machne, it doesn't mean one machne, it means all three machnes. Ata oimer, chutz gimel machnes, in el machne achas, says loshen yochid, so doesn't it sound like one machne? No, shu'oimer, v'paro ha-eido, it says regarding the paro ha-mdavish al-tzibur, michutz la-machne. It says, v'hoitzi es ha-paro michutz la-machne, v'sorah, v'hoitzi kashasorah, v'sa paro ha-rishon, chatos Hakol hu. So it says over there, you should take the parallel and davish al tzibur mechutz lamachna. Shein tzarich loymer. It didn't have to say mechutz lamachna. You know why? Sharei kvar nemar. The next words, you should burn a kasha saraf as a par harishon. So why the Torah have to tell me get mechutz lamachna? Litulei machna shniya. They tell me two machnas. Okay, so I'm already getting somewhere. Kshu loymer when it says mechutz lamachna bedeshen. Now this pasuk is already talking about the avoida of being moitzi the deshen. That was done every day in the Beis Hamikdash. Who pashat es begada, v'lovesh begada macherim, v'hoitzi es hadeshen el michutz lamachana, el mokim tar. So when it says over there, michutz lamachana, she'ein tzarech loymar, it didn't have to say chutz lamachana. Why not? This is like a whole nother Indian. I'll tell you why. Sharei kvar nemar, it says, where should you take the deshen? El al shefach hadeshen yisarif. You should do it in the place where the deshen is. Which deshen? This is Vayikra Perek Vav. Oh, it's only five and change prokim to even refer back to. It's where the Torah said you should take the paralim davish al tzibur. It's where the Torah said you should take the parakoy Mashiach and burn it. Naturally, when you burn it, you're going to end up with deshen. And if the Torah would simply say, take it to the makam shefach hadeshen, which it anyways says, I would know that's where it's supposed to be. So why did the Torah say again, michutz lamachna by deshen? Slita lemachna shlishes. To tell me that there's supposed to be a third machna. So the bottom line is, it says, Machane or Chutz LaMachane by the par Koy Mashiach. It says Chutz LaMachane by the par on Davish Al Tzibur. It says Chutz LaMachane by the mitzvah of Yitzhak Sadeshen to teach me that the deshen of the par Koy Mashiach, the deshen of the par on Davish Al Tzibur, and the deshen of the Yitzhak Sadeshen was all in the same place. It was Chutz LaGimel Machnes. If that's the case, what does it mean? Yoitzi al Michutz LaMachane here in the parasha of the par and the sar and Yom Kippur. Talking about the Toma Geshmak. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon, Hay Michutz LaMachna Mayov. What does Reb Shimon do with Yoitzei Michutz LaMachna? Reb Shimon, who's chaylik in the Mishnah, and he knows that it's only the Kehanim that were involved in actually burning the Parim Manasof and the Sirim Manasof and became Tameh, simply taking a Chutz LaMachna now. So what do you do with this Pasuk? Yoitzei Michutz LaMachna. Right, and by the way, it can't be to tell me to take it out of the fourth Machna, right? That's like the Dritte Tugra Shchodesh. You don't have a fourth Machna. So that doesn't work. So what does it mean when it says, Yoitzei Michutz LaMachna Loit Reb Shimon? So the Gemara says, Mibay Leil Chidatanya needs it for the following price. Reb Liyaza Oim, Reb Liyaza said, Nemar Kan Chutz LaMachna. V'nemar Lahalon. And it says over there, where's there? This is so tricky. This is by the Parah Aduma. Unesatem oisa el alazar akoyim, vahitzi oisa el michutz lamachane, v'shachat oisa lefanam. So it says chutz lamachane by the Parah and the Sarah and Yom Kippur. And it says chutz lamachane by the Parah Aduma. Ma'la halon, just like over there, chutz l'gimel machnes, afkan l'gimel machnes. Just like there, it's chutz l'gimel machnes, so to return. Okay. Where was the Mokoyim, chutz l'gimel machnes for the Parah Aduma? It was to the east of Yerushalayim. How do you know it was to the east of Yerushalayim? So Rashi says very simple, because we know there were hazois that were done with the dam of the Parah Aduma, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but there were hazois that were done, and it had to be done noichach the Oyel Moed, which means you had to be facing the Oyel Moed, which means you're facing the western side of the Harabayas, which means that you're to the east, which means that you're to the east of the Harabayas. The bottom line is, obviously it was b'mizracha. From this Gzei Rishava, we learn Chutz L'Gimel Machnes, which you could have learned from the Parakoy Mashiach and the Param Davash HaTzibur, but this you for sure couldn't have learned from there, that when it says Chutz L'Machne, what is the Makom of Chutz L'Machne? It means the Mizracha Shal Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, El Rabbanon Hechi Saraflu. The Rabbanon don't seem to have this Gzei Rishava. So if they don't have this Gzei Rishava, according to Rabbanon, where exactly was the Sreifa of the Par and the Sar of Yom Kippur? We know what the Sreifa of the Par Aduma was. That's for sure Mizracha Shal Yerushalayim. But if you don't have this Gzei Rishava, so where was the Sreifa. Mar says, Kidatanya, we know from the following price. Heichon Nisrafin, where were the Sreifas done? Litzafon Yerushalayim. It was in the northern part of Yerushalayim. Chutz L'Sholosh Machnes. First price. Rabbi Yisak Lili said, Abes Hadeshin Nisrafin. Now, Rabbi Yisak Lili is not coming to be Chaylik necessarily, that it wasn't Betzfon Yerushalayim. He's just adding another criteria. And that is, the Sreifa had to be done Abes Hadeshin, which Rashi says, Tzorich Sheyakdim L'Sham Deshin Mizbeach. It first has to have deshen, only afterwards be able to burn it. So if there was no deshen that was there first, then you couldn't do it. Right? The Torah says it has to be makom shefach hadeshen. So there had to have been some deshen there prior. Oh my, Rav Aman, Tana, the Polish, Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Who is the Tana that's chaylik with Rabbi Yosi Aglili? Who said anyone's chaylik? So Rav was medayik. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Oimer, Abbeis Hadeshen Nisrafim. It sounds like that the Chachamim are arguing with this. So who's the Tana that's chaylik? So the Gemara says, Rav Lezman Yaakov, the Tanya, went to the Brisa, shefach hadeshen yisarif, shehe shon deshen. Rav Lezman Yaakov, it means something else. It doesn't mean there has to be deshen there, but it means it has to be a slanty place. So that what? If there's deshen, it's going to be shefecha deshen. Then the deshen is going to slip and slide. So it doesn't have to be deshen, but it has to be a place where if there's deshen, it's going to be a makom shefecha. So this was what Rava said. Amalei Abaya told Rava, Dilma b'mekayme meshupach pligi. I don't know if I necessarily agree with you. Meaning, what Rava say? Who's the Tana that's chaylik on Rabbi Yosi Aglili? It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why? Al shefach hadeshen yisarv sheheshon deshen. It's a Tana Kami here. We know it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili from the other Brisa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov has a different taich. Rava said, oh, obviously they're arguing. Does there have to be deshen? Does there not have to be deshen? Abaye said, who said they're arguing? Maybe everybody agrees that there has to be deshen there. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov has another drasha. In addition to there having to be deshen there, could be also b'mkayme meshupach. It has to be a makom that's meshupach. One last price. Tanu Rabbanon has seiref metame begodim v'leia meitzes hasa'ur. Dafka the seiref had to be begodim became tame, but the person that lit the fire not. Additionally, the one that was Masada the Marocha, right? He just set up the wood and everything. His begadim also didn't become Tommy. Who's considered the Seiref? The person that's helping out at the time of the Sreifa. You would think that even once it became Efer, it could still be Matama, meaning he's assisting in the Sreifa. So it's already Efer. Talmud Loimar, it says Oysam. Oysam Matama Begodin. Mishnas and Efer, Matama Begodin. So what does it say, Oysam? Vasayref Oysam. This is this pasuk here regarding the Par and the Sar and Yom Kippur. Yechabes Begodin. Vasayref Oysam. It has to be like still the Par and the Sar. But once it's Efer, it's not considered Oysam anymore. Reb Shimon says, Oysam Matama Begodin. But nita chabaser ematame begadim. Even if it's not Efer yet, even if the baser already decayed to a certain degree, at that point already it's not going to be metame. The Gemara says, "My benayu." What's the nafkamida between the Tanakama that says when it's Efer versus Rav Shimon who said once it's nita chabaser? Amar Rav, ik benayu de shav yecharucha. What would be if it's shard, right? Where it's nita chabaser, but it's not Efer, right? That's the nafkamina according to Rav Shimon. At that point, it's not Matama Begadim anymore. Whereas according to the Tanakama, at that point, it would be Matama Begadim. So even regarding the Seirif, we have a Machloikis. At what point it's not going to be Matama anymore. And on that note, Hadron, Alach, Tful Yoim. I know I probably lost my Cheskes Kashus at this point, but the truth is that the next Perek, Ashoichet Vamayla, and the Perek after that, Paras Chatos, these are two of the most Geshmak of Prokim. Forget about in Zvachim and in Kachin, Mamish and Shas, Long the Slight, and there's even Agadot, if you can believe it, coming up in the next 2 weeks. Either way, Hadron Alach, Tful Yoim.